This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop here. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Well, Brett Stevens had a piece in the New York Times a few days ago entitled, Only Mass Deportation Can Save America. Of course, this is the New York Times, so there's a twist. It's not the same deportation the Trump people are talking about. The people Stevens would like to deport likely include you, native-born American citizens. Stevens calls them, quote, complacent, entitled, and often shockingly ignorant on basic points of American law and history. A, quote, stagnant pool in which our national prospects risk drowning. What are their sins, these native-born Americans? Well, according to Stevens, they're stupid, they don't have enough kids, but they also have too many kids out of wedlock, they don't start enough businesses, and they commit too many crimes. Quote, so-called real Americans are screwing up America, he continues. Maybe they should leave so that we can replace them with new and better ones, immigrants. Stevens later adds that he's only joking, but only because no country would actually accept the worthless regular Americans he'd like to deport. Stevens is regarded, and certainly regards himself, as an incredibly smart person. And yet, weirdly, it never seems to dawn on him that the decline of the American middle class, their economic, educational, and social struggles, could be related to the policies he and others have championed for decades. Never occurred to him. He also shows little care for Americans as anything besides units of economic productivity, widgets to fuel the machine of global capitalism that pays Brett Stevens many thousands a year to write mediocre opinion columns in a dying newspaper. The notion of America as a nation, a group of people whose government ought to be on their side rather than working against their interests, seems alien to Brett Stevens. Given this, it probably will not surprise you that Stevens was an aggressive cheerleader for the Iraq War. He didn't fight in it, of course, despite being young enough to do so. He did insist as recently as 2013 that the war was based on sound intelligence and was therefore a justifiable expenditure of 4,400 American lives and hundreds of billions of dollars. He's also a big hawk on Iran, of course, so he probably would not shrink from advocating for a new and bloody war in that country, too. Stevens is the modern Washington establishment summed up perfectly in a nutshell. He's happy to send other people off to fight the country's battles since he never considered doing such a thing himself. And yet, when they return, he castigates them for not being good enough. He laughs at their problems, jokes about replacing them with foreigners more worthy of his affections. Naturally, Stevens' piece was the single most popular article on the New York Times website this past weekend, in case you were wondering how that paper's readers feel about you. They hate you. And they're not shy about it. That's about it for us.
Wow. Quite revealing, huh? And, you know, Brett Stevens, who's been on with us as well, this is, you know, a rather interesting perspective that he shares. I mean, and you're thinking, okay, is this, you know, because when I looked at it, I thought, well, you know, is this satire? But no, yeah, I mean, this, you know, as Tucker points out, I mean, he was very, very serious about it. And of course, the New York Times, and I think it's interesting to note, as Tucker said, this was one of the most read columns this past year. You know, this kind of perspective. I mean, this is all acceptable, but, you know, to Tucker's point, this has been the issue with those on the left. The very policies that they've created that have messed things up, their way of cleaning it up is, oh, we're just going to dispose of the middle class and those people that haven't made the adjustment, because they somehow should have anticipated, when you have a president saying, for example, that coal is dead, and an aspiring president that's saying, hey, we're going to do everything we can to get coal out of here, and don't worry about it, we've got $50 billion to retrain you.
Well, another thing is, why is the middle class shrinking? It's because people like me, who I am part of the middle class, have decided that it's not worth it to start my own business.
Right.
Because the risk is too great. So, and that's the thing. That's where I try and explain to people, that's where trickle-down really works, is if I create, build my own house and I have my gutters going to people around me, so to speak, for an analogy. Your Walmarts and everything like that, all those gutters are already set in place. The water's going where it's going.
Right.
But you need people like me to create a business so that way other people get the effect.
Exactly. Well, the conversation continues. Thanks for joining us. This is Bill Martinez. We are live.
Message and data rates may apply.
Warning. Texting while driving is illegal just about everywhere. So if you want 20/20 vision and you're driving, pull over when you can. Because a life-changing offer is just one text away. The LASIK Vision Institute is now offering absolutely free evaluations and dramatically low prices on high-quality LASIK. Text the word CLEAR88 to 350-350 to get the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology for a fraction of what others charge. Text to schedule your free appointment to see if LASIK is right for you. Results may vary. Don't miss out. When you text CLEAR88 to 350-350, you'll also get an extra 20% discount off our already low-cost services. We've already performed over a million procedures. Today, it's your turn. Discover how you can get the quality LASIK experience you've always wanted for a fraction of what others charge. This great offer is just one text away. Text CLEAR88 to 350-350. That's C-L-E-A-R 88 to 350-350.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Welcome back, America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour, I am Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. Spread the good word. Tell your friends, your neighbors. Hey, join in. Get involved in the conversation. Let us know your thoughts with an email or a hashtag at BMartinezLive.com. Email Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. Robert Gleason joins us now, nationally recognized expert on nuclear terrorism, author, repeat guest on many major TV and radio shows around the nation, and star and host of the History Channel's two-hour special on this very subject. His latest book, An End to the Fire, depicts in great detail how our enemies would be able to accomplish a nuclear attack on America. Robert Gleason, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Thanks for having me on.
Hey, good to have you here to talk about your brand-new book, An End to the Fire. They're saying it accurately depicts the horror and chaos of a devastated America after a nuclear terrorist attack. I mean, something of a nuclear consequence. I mean, America went into shock after 9/11. I mean, they just could not believe that we could be attacked like this. But a nuclear holocaust would be something altogether different and much more devastating on many levels, not only physically but psychologically on this country, right?
Oh, absolutely. General Tommy Franks, who was the general in charge of Operation Iraqi Freedom when we went into Iraq in 2003, when he retired, he said his fear was if there ever was a nuclear terrorist attack, that the Congress would end up abdicating its authority and turning it over to a military dictator. Mm-hmm. He said he was concerned that a nuclear terrorist attack would be so shocking that it would result in the loss of our constitutional form of government.
That's pretty scary. I mean, that we'd have that kind of reaction. And certainly it would seem plausible where we are right now with this constitutional form of government and the chaos that is, you know, that we're dealing with right now.
There's a long history that, you know, Putin came to power in Russia and established himself as a dictator a lot of people believe he did it himself, that those four square box of apartment buildings were blown up. He said it was Chechenian separatists, but a lot of people believe that he had it done himself. There's a lot of evidence that the FBS, which is formerly the KGB, did it. They caught agents from the FBS on site planning bombs, let's put it that way. And he ran, of course, the FBS.
Exactly.
And Hitler came to power through the Reichstag fire, which he'd had set himself. It was a civil war in Rome that caused the Roman Senate to surrender its authority to Caesar Augustus. There's lots of examples. Lenin came to power through a coup. There's a lot of examples of this. A horrible act of terrorism comes, and everybody gets so frightened that they want to turn everything over to a strong leader. It's happened before. That tends to be the fate of great republics and democracies.
Well, do you think that America, where it sits today, yeah, very likely. History has given us empirical evidence that this could occur. And you would only hope that our constitutional form of government is somewhat fortified, especially now that you're starting to have what I'm sensing here, Robert, is that we've got the rise of the forgotten man and woman, Main Street America, beginning to fight back against this elitist viewpoint. And hopefully it's strong enough to be able to withstand, a real tipping point, although, we're coming close to it. There's no doubt.
Well, if you read Revelation, Revelation mm-hmm. says that the reason God comes down and destroys humanity's greed, that if the first chapter of Revelation is supposed to be chapter 13, it's written out of sequence. And in chapter 13, an angel comes down and says, you people are obsessed with greed. You're doing all this business with the Antichrist, who's in charge of all financial transactions on earth. You carry the 666. You're going to give up your greed, or I'm going to come down and destroy the world, and you'll spend eternity in hellfire and brimstone. And that's where the phrase hellfire and brimstone comes down. So a third of humanity says, money, hellfire and brimstone, money, hellfire and brimstone. I think I'll take the money. And so then that's when the book of Revelation actually begins. The scrolls are unfolded. The four horsemen come down, the pale horseman whose name is Death, and hell followed with him. And the stars come down from the sky, and they detonate on the earth. And after all, a nuclear weapon is nothing but a miniature man-made star that detonates on the earth. Mm-hmm. So it's the same processes that go on in the heart of a star go on in the heart of a thermonuclear weapon. We created the arms of Armageddon, and we immediately sold that stuff off as quickly as possible to the most dangerous nations on earth. And we're still doing it.
Exactly.
A few years ago, we tried to sell nuclear power plants to Saudi Arabia. And that nuclear power plants are training wheels for nuclear terrorists and nuclear proliferators. So that you're absolutely right. And that most people don't understand greed. Greed is not making money to pay the rent, to make your car payments. Greed is like the world has $1.5 quadrillion in global derivative debt. That's pure intrinsic uncollateralized debt. One third of the world's GDP is in offshore black hole black money accounts. One half of all non-farm corporate profit in the United States is sucked up by Wall Street. That's greed.
Yes.
And that's the kind of greed that, guess what, gets the world destroyed. People like that will do anything for money, including sell nuclear power plants to the Saudis.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, we continue to head down that trajectory, and we even look at the greedy examples within our government and the political parties. You just go, when is enough enough here, Robert?
Well, I was reading William Manchester's second volume in his biography of three-volume biography of Winston Churchill, and he explains at the end of it why the British aristocracy was so supportive of Hitler, and that appeasement doesn't really, you have to read it to see what they did. The PBS and the London Times were not allowed to publish articles critical of Hitler. They really did. They supported him financially in every conceivable way. And he said in the end that Britain, like France and Germany, was run by old world, old school money, super wealthy oligarchs, politically powerful, long centuries of inherited money, and they were scared to death that the Labor Party and the Liberal Party would create things like Social Security, universal health care, universal retirement benefits, universal education. They were scared to death of that, and they knew Hitler had opposed those things in Germany, and they knew that Russia was in favor of those kinds of things. So they threw their support to Hitler. Right up to the very end, Churchill was trying to, as the Wehrmacht was rolling through France, he was trying to figure out if he could still cut a deal with Hitler.
Wow. Wow. And of course,
blind greed. That was blind greed.
And of course, we had people here in America the same way, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I think it's identical. The nuclear denial we're in is quite similar to, I think, the Nazi denial. By the way, I want to stress my novel is actually a very exciting, entertaining novel. Mm-hmm. I have lots of supervillains. I have protagonists, a hero. My website is
RobertGleasonBooks.com,
and you can look it up.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the U.S., go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Biochemistry determines your mood, memory, energy, and endurance. Your body's primary metabolic function is to make protein. One World Whey is a unique, non-denatured protein. This enables your body to have virtually 100% utilization, whereas typical whey protein powders offer no more than 18% utilization of protein. One World Whey also delivers life-giving frequencies to your cells. The net result for so many people is improved energy, mood, and elimination of pain from inflammation.
This technologically enhanced One World Whey has been really amazing for me. I'm 36 years old, and for the past several years, I've been struggling with lack of energy, drive, and stamina. And after just 2 weeks on this product, I'm feeling so much more energy. My yoga practice has deepened, and as a massage therapist, I'm able to see more clients than I've been able to in years. I've never felt results that quick with anything I've ever taken.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Many books have been written regarding the law of attraction, but what if all these books are missing the most important information we can use when it comes to activating this law in our lives? The new book, It's Time to Align, the most powerful self-help book ever written by Alan Lottinger, takes a look at how the law of attraction really works and how it is being suppressed in our lives. Learn how to overcome this manipulation and how to experience alignment with the creative power of the universe. Get the new book, It's Time to Align, available at Amazon.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business, so make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Lower taxes, less government, and self-reliance. They live here. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, just the way you like me, fresh every day, 9 to noon, Eastern, 6 to 9, Pacific. Welcome back. Robert Gleason is still with us, nationally recognized expert on nuclear terrorism. We're talking about his new book, And Into the Fire, which accurately depicts the horror and chaos of a devastated America after a nuclear terrorist attack. This is his latest novel. Robert, I did want to give you a chance to remind everybody where they can go and be connected with you. We got cut off because we had to go to break. We had a hard break on this. So I do want to, in all fairness, have our audience take note of what it was you were trying to communicate to them.
Oh, yeah. My website is robertgleasonbooks.com. Gleason is G-L-E-A-S-O-N, like Jackie Gleason. Robertgleasonbooks.com. And they have, the book has gotten like spectacular reviews. And one of the reasons I like writing about nuclear terrorism, I like to get really smart, sophisticated, very witty supervillains. And the people that get in, we were talking before about about how we'll sell anybody anything for money. The Obama administration tried to sell the Saudis 2 nuclear power plants and did sell them $105 billion worth of high-tech weaponry. The Saudis, we now know, because they unexpunged those 28 pages in the Senate hearing on 9/11, that they were largely responsible for the flattening of the World Trade Centers. They bankrolled us, several of the terrorists, and wealthy Saudis did. And not only did the Obama administration sell them $105 billion worth of high tech weaponry, which was a record, Donald Trump in 4 months has sold them $350 billion worth. That Israel says that the Trump administration has completely destabilized the balance of power in the Middle East by selling all this stuff to the Saudis. Clearly, these are people who will do anything for money, and including sell nuclear power plants. They make fabulous villains for novels, and also, the better your villains are, then the more heroic your protagonists can become. So it's in the reviews. If they go to my website, robertgleasonbooks.com, you can check out the reviews. It is, I like to think, it's above all an entertaining novel, though there is a lot of shocking factual information in it.
Well, as you say, I mean, this is, you know, some people might be surprised that with some of the depictions here that you're going, whoa, you know, I mean, this is pretty consistent with the headlines that we're reading today, and it's not that far-fetched. Of course, those of us that understand the Book of Revelations, who study the Word of God, you know, we're not surprised by this. And just as you brought to focus here, is, you know, people want to know why, you know, what is the motivation here? And at the very basis is that old greed issue that's taken place. But it's greed like, you know, Robert, it's greed like what most people, you know, the everyday man doesn't quite understand greed to this level, do they?
No, you want the typical person wants money to pay their bills, maybe have a little fun. The people that pile up money upon money upon money, the money motive, the accumulation of money for money's sake, is intrinsically pathological. And by the way, it's not only Revelation. What is the original sin? What got us thrown out of Garden of Eden? We coveted God's possessions. Covetousness is a kind of greed. Greed is coveting money. What if you read the Lord's Prayer? Where, you know, Christ gives us what we're supposed to pray to God.
That's right.
Before the benediction, what is the culmination of the Lord's Prayer? For God, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. It's not trespasses. The translation of the Greek, the Hebrew, and the Aramaic is debts. And that, again, it's a recognition that greed, the accumulation of money for money's sake, is the Achilles heel of humankind. And unfortunately now we have nuclear weapons technology, and the U.S. created the arms of Armageddon, and it should have been laid to our charge to put them in that Pandora's box and weld the door shut. Instead, in 1953, Eisenhower created something called Atoms for Peace. He declared that all nations had an inalienable right to nuclear power reactors, which was some minor technical changes, can be used to create nuclear bomb fuel. And you can build a nuclear bomb fuel reprocessor with the old, with the equipment from an old dairy or an old winery and some off-the-shelf parts. And in 6 months, you'll be ready to reprocess the nuclear waste in your nuclear power reactor. And knowing that this would proliferate nuclear weapons technology, we sold that stuff all over the world. We sold Pakistan and Iran their first nuclear reactors, and we're still doing it. And that is, and you know, the Bible has it exactly right. That's the problem with humanity. We will do anything for money.
Right. Yeah, it's like the effort to build a Tower of Babel, continues, but in just different forms.
That's exactly right. We're building these needle towers in New York now. One of them is 44 feet on edge, 44 feet across, and 96 stories high. And we're selling them, we sell them for cash through shell companies to anonymous buyers that that ISIS could be buying every one of those apartments for all we know. Mm. But why would, are we insane?
Yes.
That we build skyscrapers 44 feet across and 96 stories high and then sell them to anonymous buyers for cash? I mean, this is psychosis.
Right. I mean, for a moment, we've got a little bit of positive reality to consider, and this is what Donald Trump has brought to the discussion in terms of, you know, building some walls and, you know, being a bit more nationalistic. And, you know, he looks at some of these things, brings it out. And, it's overwhelming, Robert, when you think about how we've been so open-minded that our brains have fallen out and how vulnerable that we've left people because, the citizens are really counting on the government to do its job and they're really failing. And, you know, it's like most of America is just shrugging through this whole process. But I keep thinking of, you know, maybe not so much my lifetime, but what about my kids and my grandkids? What are they going to deal with?
Well, once you get the nuclear bomb field, Luis Alvarez invented the triggering mechanism for the Hiroshima bomb. And he said, once you have the bomb grade highly enriched uranium, a high school kid can build a Hiroshima bomb. And so what you have to do is stop people. It's very hard to create bomb grade HEU or bomb grade plutonium. So you got to stop people from making this stuff.
Right.
Because once the terrorists get it, you're in trouble.
Well,
the way all the rogue states get it is through nuclear power. Mm-hmm. Nuclear power is the Trojan horse. They hide it. They hide behind nuclear power so they can create their nuclear weapons programs. Luckily, all the nuclear power plants are old and decrepit, and we have a chance to start phasing them out. And once you phase out nuclear power, if somebody wants nuclear technology or if they even want to dig uranium, they only want it for one thing. That's to build a bomb.
Yeah,
then you
exactly.
Go about the hard work of getting rid of nuclear bombs, which every president from Reagan to Obama to Trump has wanted to get rid of.
Right. Well, here you are, to your point on the issue of greed. We have a Secretary of State that gives up 20% of our uranium to the Russians, and it's all about greed.
Yeah, there was some program. I never completely understood it, but we were supposed to give them uranium that they would then reprocess. I never, because after you reprocess it, it's usable for bomb fuel. So I never quite understood what that, but they use it, they reprocess it basically into nuclear power fuel. And I never really quite understood the logic of that program, but I know there are people that support it.
Well, I know many are still scratching their heads, speaking of Iran, over the deal that we struck up with this previous administration. And as you say, for something that's not supposed to proliferate, again, we're faced with these unintended consequences brought to you by the U.S. government.
Oh, yeah. No, it's we created the arms of Armageddon, and we around the world.
I'm going to steal that. I like that. We've created arms of Armageddon. We did. Robert Gleason, nationally recognized expert on nuclear terrorism, author, and repeat guest on many major TV and radio shows. His latest novel, And Into the Fire, will be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com and available at all the usual places. Robert Gleason, thank you for being with us.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000,
Call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-8785. 800-430-8785. 800-430-8785. 800-430-8785.
Hi there, I'm Bob Eubanks. You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee, and they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-361-6907. 800-361-6907.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Letting you know about it before the defecation hits the oscillation. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, we're back with you 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Don't forget, for more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. You can connect with all the books of authors that we have on our show right there. And also, if you've got an email that you want to share with us, by all means, Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. David Robinson joins us now, speaking of authors. He is the author of Can Sexual Orientation Change? One Man's Memoir. Is a man who had homosexual urges when he was a teenager, and some might say he has them today. Had a brief conversation about it in a high school locker room, of all places, when he was 14. He eventually channeled his urges into heterosexual relationships, and we'll talk more about his story. At the age of 64, we will say that he's been happily married to a woman for 14 years. David Robinson, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Thank you, Bill. Great to be here.
Well, your message regarding sexual orientation, you know, other people or some other people may be able to change their sexual orientation. I guess this is, not necessarily a concrete doctrine as much as it is, this is an individual consideration, right?
You know, Bill, it's like any other type of therapy. You know, some people are trying to ban conversion therapy. They say, well, if you're gay, you can't do anything about it. Well, the fact is, like any other type of therapy, it's going to work on some people and not other people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why my book title ends with a question mark. Can sexual orientation change? I think it can change in some people. It changed in me, but it doesn't necessarily going to change in everybody. I think mm-hmm. it depends on how motivated the person is. And I was quite motivated, but my sexual orientation did change from the time I was 14 until at least 17, although some might say that I still have a little bit of a same-sex attraction.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and I wonder to a degree, again, you know, when you consider the spectrum of people's emotions and feelings, sexually, they can run the gamut, to your point. You know, just like somebody having a, the way I look at it, in my own naive sort of way, I'm not a psychologist, so take this in stride in what I'm trying to say here, is that like an alcoholic, there's some people that have a predilection to it. Yeah. And for those that are, you know, that have a bigger problem, maybe have to have a shorter leash on themselves. You know, there is no question that sex is a very, very powerful aspect of our humanity, and how we choose to honor that and how we choose to honor our sexuality is something that requires, I believe, some, you know, some education and some understanding. And part of the challenge that we run to in our culture is that we're still influenced by some of the puritanical upbringing that we had, where we, you know, we're reticent to talk about sex to such a degree that people think, you know, as they're going through puberty and feeling urges, and, you know, which, you know, I think that we have a certain amount of, you know, hysteria that's taken place, you know, that they say, okay, well, you know, if you're a young man, you're 14 years old, and you have, you know, sexual desires that are going to be acted out in homosexual behavior, is that something that is more experimental, or is it something that is inherent that is going to keep you on a trajectory to be attracted to same sex, or is it just part of the spectrum? Now, I believe that it's part of the spectrum, but because we're not talking about it, because you can't, you know, somehow, we leave it in the dark ages, and we're really not having a healthy conversation about sex.
I'll tell you this, Bill. I do not leave it in the dark ages. My book goes into considerable detail about exactly what happened to me. Mm-hmm. Physiologically, when I was 14, and what somebody said to me. And I'm not sure I can fully repeat it on the air, but basically somebody saw me in, I guess you could say, a state of excitement.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the boys' locker room.
Right.
And to make a long story short, and as diplomatically as I can, he said to me, you know, what you've got there, that's really supposed to go with a woman.
Yes.
And I thought about it, and it made sense to me. And I looked at how I'm built. I looked at how a female is built. I looked at the anatomical differences, and I concluded that as a man, I'm anatomically designed to have sex with a woman.
Right.
And I might have temptations to do things with a man. But then I realized that life is full of temptations. Every day, every hour of every day, we are tempted by things that I wouldn't necessarily say are evil. And one aspect of my book, Bill, is that I don't take a real hard judgmental stand against homosexuality. I'm not one of these people telling people what the Bible says and it's a sin and this and that. I'm not saying it's terrible, but I do believe that we are really meant to be, we are built to be heterosexual, and then almost everybody would prefer, if they could have their wish, to be heterosexual.
Mm-hmm.
I just think more people can achieve that if they really try and if they really think about what the body is designed to do, and if they also realize that they have to think about exactly what it is about the same sex that they're interested in. Maybe they can find some of that in the opposite sex. And that's what I basically did. That's how I kind of channeled my homosexual urges into heterosexual relationships. So it takes a little imagination, but I was able to do it, and I think some other people might be able to do it.
And to your point here, David, I think it takes honesty. You know, you gotta be honest about it. I mean, for you to, you know, say, hey, you know, I've had urges, I mean, And if the truth be known, again, it's a spectrum. So you're going to run the whole gamut of people that, you know, have urges. Do they act on it? And as you say, you know, even though you're trying not to make it dogmatic, you know, you go back to what God's intent was when you look at, you know, him creating man and woman. You know, what was the purpose? I mean, he is the creator. He's the designer. And so, you know, you look to that. For me, at least, that's my base point, is I'm going to look to say, okay, what did God intend here? And well, and not to mention the fact that when you do things, as he said to Caleb, if you do right, will it not go well for you? And there is a lot of message in that short sentence there for all of us that goes down through the millennia. And we know that when we're doing things that are consistent with the Creator, it goes well for us. There is peace that accompanies it. And when we violate that, then we're not at peace and we've got issues. And this is why you can extract why possibly there's so many, you know, suicide attempts in the homosexual community. And we've got rampant disease going in. And I don't want to say that. And somebody go, well, that's that age old argument. And you're talking about AIDS and all that. Well, again, you know, I just want to be honest, you know, that God didn't set these rules up. That so that he's a killjoy. It's like, hey, so that it would go well with us, right?
You know, not only are you being honest, Bill, but the fact of the matter is, as far as AIDS and HIV go, on the one hand, we don't read about it as much these days. On the other hand, the New York Times last week, which of course is very pro-gay, pro-LGBT, they had an article that HIV continues to be a very serious problem in the United States, particularly for men who have sex with men.
Yes.
And so while I agree with you, if you talk about AIDS and HIV, people are going to say, oh, you're stereotyping us. You're 20, 30 years behind the times. The fact is, it is still a health hazard, but the media don't like to talk about it. Because if they talk about it, it discourages people from being homosexual.
Right.
And they don't want to discourage people. They want to encourage people who have same-sex attraction to act on those attractions rather than resisting them.
Well, we've got to go to break here, Dave, when we come back.
Yep.
I want to unwrap this, and I pray that people understand here, this is not an indictment. We're talking about this openly and honestly because I believe this is a discussion that has been long needed, and I appreciate you coming on with us.
Hey there. Did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park or the beach or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrads students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right. Get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you, and you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
800-981-9347. 800-981-9347. That's 800-981-9347.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, just the way you like me, fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. A conversation with David Robinson continues. His book, Can Sexual Orientation Change One Man's Memoir? He says that religion played no role in David's thinking, except for one short Bible quote from Matthew 6, verse 13. Lead us not, which is, of course, from the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. How did that impact you, David?
Well, I thought about it. Whenever I felt the same-sex attraction, I kind of lumped it together with the urge to drink alcohol or smoke cigarettes, some things of which I've done. Mm-hmm. I tried marijuana when I was younger. Life, I think the Lord or our creator or nature, you know, one problem with talking about the Lord and our creator is it's people can just deflect it by saying, oh, well, I'm not your religion, so I'm not interested in what you have to say. I said, well, even if you're not, nature did this. Nature built us, or God built us, so that we are constantly tempted to do things we shouldn't do, whether it's overeating, whether it's stealing, whether it's committing adultery. And so I went to I go to Matthew 6:13 because that is a general guideline in life that whenever you're tempted to do something, you got to think, is it something good or is it something bad? If it's bad, you should resist it. Interestingly, some people think, oh, you must talk about how the Bible says homosexuality is sin and quote Leviticus. And no, I don't. I just quote the part about temptation. Homosexuality is a temptation. I'm not sure I'd call it an evil one, but it's a negative one. And it's one that people should try to resist. And if they can't resist it, well, they shouldn't be condemned for it. But I think people should try to resist it and try to channel their sexual energy into a heterosexual relationship.
Well, let me ask you this, David. If God thought we could resist, I think he would have said resist. That prayer says deliver us from evil. And the fact that it's deliver us seems to be a universal term that we're, you know, to your point earlier, is that we're all influenced. You know, our sexuality can influence in all kinds of different ways. You know, to do things that are not wholesome, that are not going to get us the right consequence and, you know, the right end story we would want for ourselves. Temptation is something that's going to take us away from our higher good. But what it says, deliver us. So we have to look to God to get us through this, because it is such a powerful influencer in our lives that we can lose our minds over it, you know, so to speak.
Well, I think for those who believe in God, as you and I do, it is good to look to God. But you have to realize, Bill, that not everyone believes in God. And quite honestly, I think an argument can be made that a lot of people who engage in the homosexual lifestyle have rejected the teachings of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than writing those people off and saying that they're godless people, whatever they are, they're people who are not really close to God. And is there a way to get them to maybe be heterosexual without praying to God? In other words, some people say, well, oh, they're going to pray the gay away. It doesn't work. I tried praying the gay away. It doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my approach is that prayer might help, but also prayer might not help. But I think what does help is realizing how the human body is constructed, what the human anatomy is, and that the male is supposed to go with the female. And even if you're an atheist, that is true. And I think people should learn to do what they're designed to do. And the male is designed to have sex with the female.
Right.
And even if you're an atheist, that is true.
Well, you know, when you consider why people have, you know, turned their back, for those that you say that are atheists and have turned their back on God and said, okay, I don't want to, I mean, because God is pretty clear. I don't think there's any doubt about homosexuality and what he says in his word. Now, if you choose not to take, you know, the warning and take the advice, as he told Caleb back in Genesis, if you do right, will it not go well for you? And then, of course, then you have the echo also coming, you know, from the Garden of Eden with Satan tempting, you know, our first parents and saying, did God really say? And so that is part of the question that still echoes, you know, in our ears, did God really say? Well, you can choose not to believe that God really said and follow the example of others before us that began to see things according to their own eyes. They didn't want to look to God for the answers. They wanted to say, okay, here, you know, why would God create it, you know, create this? Why would this opportunity be before us if it wasn't an option? You know, and, you know, certainly Adam and Eve could say, well, why did God create, you know, the tree that got us kicked out of heaven? You know,
I think the answer is God challenges us every day. And the question in life is, are you up to the challenge?
Well, who are you honoring? If you're honoring God, then you will make that God-like choice. Now, that's not to say that even when you fully intend to honor God, you know, as Paul said, the very thing I want to do, I don't do. What I don't want to do, I do. I mean, that's our humanity, right? So, you know, this isn't some, you know, I'm not trying to come out with some sort of, you know, spiritual paddle on people's heads here. I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, we're all dealing with this, but we're having the conversation, an open conversation about temptation and understanding that there are things in our humanity here, and what's in the balance is God's creation. It's our sons, our daughters, you know, our neighbors, people who are just like us that want a fair shot at this. And I want it, David, just like you do. I want it to go well for people. You know, whether they're my kids, even if they're my worst enemies, I want it to go well for them. I do.
Well, yeah, I agree with you, and I think my response to that would be that yes, we want to we should honor God. God wants us to honor God, but for whatever reason, God makes it a challenge for us to do that. He sets little obstacles, and I think he wants to see whether you will get over the obstacles. He doesn't make it easy. He's always dangling temptation in front of you, and the real test of human character is not the thoughts that go through your mind, but what you do with them. And to honor God and to live a godly life, for whatever reason, God makes it a test every day. Every day he dangles temptations in front of us, and I think wants to see if we can resist the negative temptations.
Well, I can't agree totally with that statement, David, that God hands a temptation in front of us. I mean, it is this fallen world that is loaded with temptations. It's what are we going to choose to do with it as free will agents? Otherwise, God could have made us automatons, and we just say we'd be fixed and, you know, like the birds that sit on a line. You know, they're engineered in such a way that they can sleep on top of a phone line with their grip closed. Because that's what they're designed to do. Sometimes I wish we were so designed in such a way that we couldn't fail, that we only honored God, because in those times when we do it and we're successful, we go, oh, this is the way it's supposed to be. It's an oh yeah moment, a breakthrough. But then no sooner do we have that breakthrough, then we're back to being knuckleheads again. We want to do it according to our own eyes, and we're paying a big price on it. And this is the journey. I don't think it's so much that it's there. It's for us to have that moment where we give glory to God and we thank God that because of Him, it's not because of ourselves. We can't overcome, you know, temptation in and of ourselves. But we're just saying, hey, look at God. I'm in trouble here. I'm being tempted, and I need help. And that's pretty humbling for somebody to be at that point to say, you know, you don't have all the goods and you can't do it yourself, right?
Well, that's why, as you said, you ask to deliver us from evil. You ask God's help to deliver us from that evil. So I'm really agreeing with you, Bill. But all I'm saying is that I think there are a lot of people who experience same-sex attraction and who engage in homosexual sex who aren't thinking about God and probably will not think about God. And one point of my book is to appeal not just to God-fearing and God-loving people, but the people who've given up on God. Mm. I try to get those people too, because as I said earlier, a lot of books like mine are quite religious, and it's just so easy for somebody to say, well, that book doesn't apply to me. I'm not your religion.
Right.
So one thing about my book is, even if you're not my religion, there are reasons that I think you can follow in my foot. I don't know if you can follow in God's footsteps, but you can certainly follow in my footsteps. Try to do some of the things that I did. They might or might not work for you.
Well, as you say, it's one man's memoir. I mean, this is your experience and what worked for you. And I will say this, for those that have turned their back and given up on God, I want you to know this with all my heart. God has not given up on you. I want you to hear that. And I pray that you find the answer, and that peace would envelop you. And by peace, I mean everything that's fully satisfied and fulfilling in your life would be realized in every area and every dysfunction that you think exists. And I'm thankful that that God's on the throne and I'm not, and He's in charge, right? David Robinson on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, David.
Food became scarce. Would you be able to feed yourself and your family? Have you found some emergency food supplies can cost upwards of $300 for a month's supply? And worst of all, they're packed with chemicals and other unpronounceable ingredients. At NorthwestFork.com, our mission is to provide you with food that's not only healthy and natural, but also affordable. At NorthwestFork.com, for only $127, you can order meals that are naturally high in fiber, carbs, and protein, packaged in Mylar bags with oxygen absorbers for superior shelf life. For a limited time only, your order ships free. But that's not all. Enter promo code PREP10 to receive 10% off your entire order. Call 800-700-2184 today. NorthwestFork.com keeps prices low by buying directly from suppliers in the Pacific Northwest, then passing the savings to you. Go to NorthwestFork.com or call 800-700-2184 for the most cost-effective and healthy food storage solution. That's NorthwestFork.com at 800-700-2184.